But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he began to sound, the mystery of God should be finished as he had declared to his servant, the prophets. I'm just going to borrow a phrase out of there and preach for a few minutes. And I understand y'all get out usually about a quarter after or something like that. Boy, you're in for a treat today because I just preached 30, 40 minutes. And man, you get an early lunch for once. Amen. I'm going to borrow a phrase out of there. He said that there should be time no longer. We're starting revival, and I hope you see the urgency that's on us. I've never seen the world in the shape it's in. I've never seen the wickedness that is out in the open now. I know it's always been there, but now it's wide open, and nobody cares anymore. I want you to see the urgency as we try to have revival this week, that he said up there, there's time no longer. I'm going to preach this morning for a few minutes on there's no longer time. Amen, there's no longer time. The Lord said the day would come when there'd be no more time. And you know we're nearing that by looking around you. You have time-saving devices everywhere. You got an automatic dishwasher. You just push the button and it'll do the dishes. But there are dirty dishes all over the house. Ain't that weird? You got a microwave oven. You can have popcorn in 3 minutes or 3.5 minutes. Man, all kind of time-saving stuff. You got drive-in drug stores now. I was down in Pensacola, Florida, and they had a drive-in funeral home. Honest to goodness, they had the casket in a big window, and you could drive up and look at them, and I guess give your condolences, and then drive on around the building. Look, if you didn't care enough about me to get out of the car, man, just stay at the house, amen? I mean, if you can't get out of the car, stay home. But at any rate, they got a drive-in funeral home. They got automatic washers and automatic dryers. Brother and sister, have you ever noticed all these time-saving devices, and have you noticed that you don't have time? I mean, we got instant everything, and you don't have time to do nothing anymore. Something has happened to time, and boy, it's got gone. My mama had a wringer washer. She had an old wringer washer that they'd wash the clothes and run them through the wringer and hang them out on the line. They washed all the kids' diapers. There was no Pampers or things like that. My mama cooked 3 meals a day and baked bread every meal. We ate 3 meals a day down on the farm in Tennessee. We ate beans, taters, and cornbread every day. That's what we ate. And she'd do that every day and could make every night of a 2-week revival. She still had time to do that. Now we got time saving everything, and you can't get everybody here for a 3-day revival. Ain't that weird? Something happened to time. By the way, that old wringer washer, man, you'd have to be my age or older to remember that. That old wringer washer, there ain't a boy in the building that ever saw one that didn't have his finger caught in it at one time or another. Amen. You got instant news, instant mail. I'm so sick of it. I know it's popular, and I know it's the thing, and I'm just an old dinosaur. I know it, but I got a flip phone. You will never get a picture of me on anything on your phone. I don't send them. I don't text, tweet, or Twitter. Amen? Especially tweet. That sounds effeminate, doesn't it? I don't do it. But everybody's a newsman. Everybody's a movie producer. Everywhere you go now, they can send a video around the world in 3 seconds. Weirdest thing I've ever seen. We got instant everything. 1 minute coffee. My goodness. People send you a text message. I guess there's a reason for it. But I just figure if you send a text, it's because you didn't really think enough of them to talk to them. I mean, if you really liked them, you talked to them, wouldn't you? Somebody's telling me the other day, they said they got a new phone coming out soon, and it'll take a text and turn it into a voice. When you get a text, you'll hear a voice on the other end. And I thought, boy, you've really come a long way, ain't you, baby? In 1962, we picked up a phone, heard a voice. People are weird, ain't they? Well, brother and sister, I want to preach this morning for a few minutes. There's no longer time. Guy went in one night and had a cuckoo clock, and it struck midnight, and it cuckooed 16 times. The thing broke and just kept on cuckooing. He woke everybody in the house up. He said, get up. He says, later than it's ever been. Amen. Well, brother and sister, I believe today is later than it's ever been. Did you notice you don't have time to talk? You don't have time to read your Bible like you ought to? You don't have time to pray or sit with a neighbor anymore? People don't do that no more. We used to sit with a neighbor. You go by a neighbor's house, you sit on the porch and talk for an hour sometimes. don't have time to do that anymore. Somehow time is gone. Well, there's a day coming soon when it's all gone. There's no longer time. I'm telling you, whatever you're going to get done for Christ, you better do it right now. If you're going to make a move for Christ, you better do it right now. There's no longer time. We're running out. Whatever's going to be done must be done soon. Apart from the things of God, did you know you have nothing more important than time? I mean, apart from God, there's nothing on this earth more important than time. You say money? It ain't if you ain't got time to spend it. You say family? It's not if you don't have time to visit with them. You say land and property and goods? It's not if you can't stay here. Have you figured it out yet? You cannot stay here. I don't care if you get the 3-car garage, if you get the $1 million home, if you have the big CDs and a big bank account, you can pile up everything there is, but you can't stay here. If any of the things that are important is the time, brother and sister, the time. You got some land, you'll want some time to get out on it. You got family, you want to spend time with them. You got a home, you want to be there. Springtime, summertime, wintertime, it's all about time. There used to be an old popular song out there that said, there's never seems to be enough time to do the things you want to do once you find them. Well, brother and sister, there's not enough time. The Bible says, redeeming the time because the days are evil. You got family, you want time. You got money, you need time. They say yesterday's a canceled check. It's gone. Can't get it back. It's a canceled check. Tomorrow's a promissory note. You may be here, you may not be here. Today is the only real cash you got. Today is the only time that you've got. If you're going to do anything for God, you have to do it now because there's no longer time. We are running out of time. Not very much left. Be careful how you use it. I want to say this, brothers and sisters. Number one, there's no more time to wonder. You don't have time. When I got saved, I got in church, I got on fire for the Lord, man, like the brother's talking about, I couldn't get enough of it. And then after a year or so, my old friends started coming back around, and I got to ride around with them some, and I got to go in place with them some. I wound up out of church for 5 years. 5 years away from God. So wandered far from the fold. Did things, I got into more meanness after I got saved than I did before I got saved. I'm ashamed of that. Brother, sister, I wandered away from God, but thank God for his mercy, he let me back in. They say God's a God of second chances. Well, if he was, I wouldn't be here today. If he's a God of second chances, I wouldn't be standing before you. Thank God he gave me another chance and another and another and another, and he has you too. God's been patient with you too. But there's going to be a day come when you're out of time, bub, and you don't have time to wander away from God like I did. Man, that was back in the 70s. You don't have that kind of time anymore to wonder. Bible says, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. I see so many Christians like that. They're up and down. You have them down here? We have them in our church. They're up and down. They're in and out. Holiday Christians. Here a while, there a while. In church a while, out of church a while. The world lures them away. They're on fire for God. Then they're colder in the woods. In and out, just wandering around. Somebody at church offends them. They're gone for a month. Never see them again. Usually they get mad at the preacher first. Then they get mad at the church. Then they get mad at the Lord. Then they fall out with everybody. It's like the preacher preaching one time, and somebody didn't like what he said, so they wrote a note and passed it to the front, and it didn't say anything except, fool. That's all it said was, fool. Preacher read it. He said, man, people wrote me a lot of notes and signed their name. He said, this and here signed their name, but didn't say nothing. Amen. You ain't got time to get offended at everything the preacher says. You ain't got time to get offended at everything the church. Who do you think you are anyway that nobody can say anything to offend you? Nobody can hurt your feelings. Just who do you think you are? You're the fourth member of the Trinity? I did this. Most of you did too. I wandered from the Lord. But boy, I paid a terrible price for it. I paid a terrible price. Before God finally got my attention, man, my best friend was killed in a car wreck with me at places we shouldn't have been doing things we shouldn't have been doing. And I laid his head on my shoulder and drove 100 miles an hour to the hospital And he breathed his last breath laying right there on my shoulder. Best friend I had in the world. Say, what happened? God got my attention. God brought me back. I paid a terrible price for wandering away from the Lord. We had a lady in our church, and we live only a couple hours from Branson, Missouri. And everybody loves Branson up there. It's a church stopper, boy. And a church time on Sunday, everybody's in Branson. I mean, they're up there running around. And our folks are pretty good about being faithful. But this girl wasn't. They'd been in our church for 15 years. I saw her one day, and I said, hey, I missed you last week. And the week before, too, matter of fact. She's always in Branson. And just laughed. She thought it was so funny. I said, man, your church missed you. She said, while I was in Branson, she said, I'm going to be there next week, too. Just laughed. And I thought, boy, how ungrateful. Well, she did. She went to Branson, her and another couple from the church, her and her husband and another couple from the church. And they hung out up there a long time. And all of a sudden, that other guy's wife started liking her husband better than she liked hers. All of a sudden, she started making eyes with him. Before you know it, she run off with him. The whole thing's divorced now, blew in a million pieces. Two families completely destroyed, all of them out of church. Say, what was? Oh, just a little time to wonder. She wasn't laughing last time I saw her. Last time I saw her, she was crying, pleading. Brother, sister, I want to tell you, young people, you don't have time to do that. If you're saved by the grace of God, you need to get in church and serve the Lord and be faithful. You don't have time to wonder. You don't have time to be offended. They hurt my feelings. You don't have time for that, brother and sister. You might get back. You might wander off and you might get back, mom and dad. You might get up. You might get out of church and you might make it back one day. But there's no guarantee your kids will. You see, you took them out too. You make one lap around the devil's track, boy, and your kids will make 10. They'll go further than you did. They'll go faster than you did. You might make it back, but your kids won't. You may make it back, and your spouse don't make it back. I've seen that too. You be careful about wondering. Sometimes you may make it back. Sometimes your home won't survive. I've seen that. I've been pastoring 22 years. I don't know everything, but I know a few things. I've seen a few things. You may make it back and your health don't survive. Listen, God saved you and God's going to keep you. But this is not your life and that body's not your own. God owns it and he'll take care of it. Brother and sister, I see it everywhere I go. People virtually starting all over again with their whole life because they wandered from the house of God. Wasted years, oh how foolish. Well, I'm telling you, it's about over. And you don't have time to wonder anymore. If you're going to do anything for God, now's the time to do it. And boy, look what a beautiful place to do it. Man, God's gave y'all a beautiful building right here in the heart of everything. My soul, what else you want? What else do you need to do something for God? Looks like you've got everything. Good pastor, good pastor's wife, good church family. I've already noticed you. There's a good spirit in here. You're friendly people. What in the world are you waiting on? Let's go. You don't have time to wonder. I'll tell you this, too. There's no more time to dither. Say, what's dither? I'm glad you asked. I like to use words like that. Dither. The old folks say, boy, you go there and don't dither. I didn't even know what dither was, but I knew I was supposed to be back. Bible says, choose you this day whom you will serve. Dither means to be undecided or unable to make a decision. Let me ask you this morning. Right here at this beautiful church, Wesatch Avenue Baptist Church, going to do something for God. It's going to move. It's going to go. Let me ask you, are you in or out? Are you in? Or you still ain't made up your mind? Are you in? Are you far in? Are you getting others in? Are you in or out? How long are you going to sit there and try to decide, well, I don't know, maybe I should, maybe I shouldn't. Listen, you don't have time for that anymore. It's time to get in, brother and sister. Elijah, he went down there and Elisha was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen. You remember that in the Bible? He was plowing, tearing it up, and he said, come on, boy, follow the Lord. You know what Elijah did? The Bible said he went back and burned the instruments, man. Burned the instruments and offered a sacrifice to God and took off and followed Elijah and served the Lord. It didn't take him. that long to make up his mind. You know what he did? He burnt the plow. Woo! Amen! Give me a few Christians that'll do that. He burnt the plow so he could never go back to it. He burnt the plow so there wouldn't be no going back. Boy, you're talking about making up his mind. He made up his mind. I'm going on for God. I burnt the plow. You can't find that anymore. Didn't take him long to decide either. They asked me 22 years ago if I'd pastor our Urbana Baptist Church. I said, if the Lord have me will, I will. And brother said, listen, I wasn't making no fortune, but I'm a master electrician. I make good money. You know, I was making $24, $25 an hour back when people was making $5 an hour and $6 an hour. I got all my expenses paid. I had all those things. They said, will you pastor church? I said, if God said it, I'll do it. 22 years ago, been there ever since. They started me preaching for $25 a week. Woo, big money. Now, they take good care of me now. I got no complaints, and boy, you ought to. Every time our church has took care of me, God's took care of our church. You take care of the man of God, God will take care of your church. Can't be jealous of him. You can't be envious of him. You take care of him, and God will take care of your church. Every time our church has gave me a raise, our offerings went up. Honest to goodness, I'm not kidding you. And I wouldn't say that bragging, but when I got there, the offering on the board, you know, the Southern Baptists used to put it on the board. I don't know why you do that, bragging to everybody that you ain't got nobody there. Bragging to everybody that you didn't take up no money. But the offering on the board was $300 a week when we took that church. $300 a week. And they say, what is that? They took good care of me, brother and sister, through the years. They learned to take care of a preacher. They take good care of me. They take good care of my wife. They take good care of our stuff, brother. They are good to us. And our secretary told me this week that our offers have averaged over $10,000 a week for the past, I don't know how long. Say, what is that? That's God's mercy. That's not bragging. That's just telling you, you take care of him, God will take care of you. 22 years ago, you know what I did? I burnt the plow. I said, we ain't going back. I called the boss, said, don't look for me any more jobs. I ain't going. I said, I'm going to be in Mountain View, Arkansas. Got a big church out here, 30 or 40 people we're going to pastor. And by God's grace, we've been there ever since. That old song said, the world behind me, the cross before me, no turning back, no turning back. Some of our people think I'm too hard on some things sometimes. I'm a little bit too cut and dry. They say I'm too black and white. They say the same things about your pastor. I've already read some stuff on the internet about him. They say the same thing about him. Amen? He's too judgmental. How can you preach without being judgmental? But anyway, they say you're too hard on some things, Brother Jim. You're too black and white. You're too cut and dry. Well, brother, sister, the difference is I burnt the plow. I ain't going back. Brother, sister, I ain't going back. Now, listen, I burn it. But some of you here this morning say you don't know us. Yeah, I do. Because just like my people, your people like my people. Won't make a difference if you're in San Antonio or Mountain View, Arkansas. Christians are the same. We burnt the plow. But some of you here this morning, you didn't burn it. God called you. You took the plow and put it in the barn. Every now and then you go out there and grease the fittings on it. Every now and then you go out there and wipe it off and make sure it has paint on it so it don't rust, just in case you ever need it again. Brothers and sisters, the Bible says, the world behind me, the cross before me. No turning back. I'm not going to go out there and get that plow again. I went ahead and burned it. How about you this morning? Are you in or out? There's no longer time to divvy. Are you in or out? I will say this, there's no longer time to repair. Ephesians 4:32 says, be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. There's no longer time, brother and sister, to repair, like maybe a relationship. You got somebody that's got aught against you, you got aught against them, you ain't got time to be mad. The people up where I come from are the worst in the world. Those hillbillies up there, man, they hold a grudge, they hold it for life. I know kids up there that hate other kids because their mom and daddies hate each other. They don't even know why they hate each other, they just know you hate that family. So what a way to live. We don't have time to live like that. They get bitter, Christians get bitter. You know what bitterness is? I'm sure you do. But bitterness is you sitting across the table from somebody you hate. And you're drinking poison waiting on him to die. Well, he ain't going to die. It's going to kill you. Bitterness will kill you. It'll take your joy. It'll take your life out of you. Don't have time to be bitter. Go ahead and forgive them and go ahead and get that part out of the way and go on and serve God. You say, well, they still don't like me. So what? You don't have time, brother and sister, to repair things much longer. I know kids hate each other because, that's crazy. Repair the relationship right now while you can. Me and my wife had a friend in Tennessee, and they were good friends. Matter of fact, they were our age back then. That's been 20 years ago. And they were our age. And this lady, she was a real nice lady. I'll just say her name was Connie. And she had a daughter who wouldn't live right. And mama said, that ain't right. You need to quit it. She got mad, man, and left home. Got out there and got married and had her kid. And she was so mad still at her mama, she never let her mother see the grandbaby. Never let her mother. Boy, that's wicked. I'm telling you, girls, if you're doing that, that's wicked. Never let that mama see that grandbaby. Do you know what grandbabies are to a grandparent? Man, they're like everything. You wish you'd had them first. Grandkids are the rewards you get for not killing your children. But she never let her see that grandbaby. She's mad at mama. Well, Connie, man, she's there at work one day, walking through the house. Nobody was there. She was by herself. She went into the bathroom and collapsed on the floor. Couldn't breathe. 30-something years old. I still remember when Wayne called me about it. Still breaks my heart. 30-something years old, she collapsed on the floor. Some kind of lung problem. She couldn't breathe. She died. And they asked me, said, would you come over and preach Connie's funeral? And I said, I will. I said, I'll be over there. And I went over there for that funeral and everything. And we had a service in the church, and it was okay. And that girl sat right over there. Heartbroken, boy. She blubbered, squalled, and bawled the whole time she sat there. And she got out to the funeral, the graveyard there, when they fixed to put the coffin in the ground, and they had the thing up there, had it open for a second. And before they put it in the ground, she was over there shoving pictures of that baby into that casket with her mama. Too late. Too late. I love you, mama. Too late. Here's a picture of Junior. Too late. Listen, she should have repaired that months ago. You don't have time to be bitter. You don't have time to be hateful. You don't have time to hate people. Good grief, who do you think you are? If God can forgive people, why can't you? Should have been repaired months ago. No longer time to repair that one, buddy. It was over. She couldn't fix it then. We had a guy that fell off a tower down in Florida where I was doing electrical work, but I wasn't at this building. I was down the road. But a guy fell off that tower there, and he fell about 8 floors, man, and landed on some palmettos down there. But he was still alive when they got over to him. My friend that worked that job, he said when they got over to him, said he looked up. One half a breath is all he had. He said, tell my wife, love her. Gone. Let me ask you this, sir. Why didn't you tell her? Maybe he did. But if you'll tell her now, somebody won't have to tell her if something happens to you. Why don't you tell her you love her? Why don't you tell him you love him? Why don't you tell your kids what they mean to you? Why don't you tell your mom and dad you appreciate what they've done for you? Then nobody will have to try to do it after a funeral. No longer time. No longer time. There's no longer time to repair your life. You're going to fix it? Fix it. We'll have an invitation here in a minute. I don't know just how you do things here, but we'll have an invitation here in a minute. I guess somebody will come play. We'll have an invitation here in a minute. If there's some things in your life that need fixing, come and fix it. You don't have time. How long are you going to stay backslid? How long are you going to stay cold? When are you going to get in? You've observed this thing. You've observed others getting in. You've observed others working. When are you getting in? We're going to have revival. I'll tell you this much. Some of you have to get in. No longer time to repair. I see them all the time. Oh, Brother Jim, I'm okay now. No, you're not. We got one guy at our church. He come for 2 months, and he come. Everybody he bring church to get saved. Brother Carl. Remember him? Cooper. He come and he bring people, and people get saved right and left when he comes. He'd get more people in church than anybody ever seen. He'd get them in there in 3 months like that, and then he'd be gone. I don't see him for 2 years. 2 years later, he'd be back doing the same thing, getting them in right and left. He's gone now. I ain't seen him in 3 years. What happened? Well, if he's going to fix that, I'd say now's the time, wouldn't you? I'm okay now, Brother Jim. No, you're not. Not if you hadn't got back in. I will say this. There's no longer time to worship. We're about out of time to worship the Lord. Don't you want to get in on it while we're here? Don't you want to sing? How about it, guy? Don't you want to sing for the Lord? I mean, you don't have to get up here, but right there in your pew, don't you want to sing? I know your voice ain't very good. So what? Man, there's a lot of voices in here that ain't very good. Mine ain't very good, but it's loud. Open up. You see, I see grown men in church during the song service, and when they're singing a song, you couldn't slide a cigarette paper between their lips. What is that all about? Man, open up if you're going to and sing. You don't have much. The Bible says, praise the Lord, O my soul, and all that within me is. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Well, you don't have much time left. You going to worship or not? Sit back there scared? Are you going to say amen or not? Sit back there scared to death to say amen? I tell our kids up there, you girls, if you're dating a boy who hadn't already said amen, move away from him. He's a nerd. He's scared. He won't ever make you a good husband. He's scared to say amen. Listen, something happens at night, y'all get married, a booger knock on the door at night, he'll have you get up and answer the door. Get you somebody that's not ashamed of Jesus Christ, who's not ashamed to worship the Lord. At least say amen. At a church up home, I was reading about it. I don't know if it's in our state or not. But it was a Presbyterian church. And the pastor wanted the people to at least praise the Lord, say amen, do something. And they wouldn't do it. So one Sunday, everybody came in, he gave them a helium balloon. And he said, if you hear something about heaven or something about the Lord that you really like, he said, just turn the balloon loose. And that balloon goes up, we'll know that somebody's saying, woo, praise God. He said, at least we'll know you're worshiping in that way. He said, when the service was over with, there was 3 balloons on the ceiling. My God, you can't turn a balloon loose? I would not want to leave here. I would not want to leave this place before I told this congregation what Jesus means to me. If I was part of this church, I would not want to leave here before I told them what God had done for me, that he'd been a blessing and a help to me. I wouldn't want to leave here without doing that. Say, what is that? That's worship. I wouldn't want to leave this world without my family knowing what Jesus means to me. You say, Brother Jim, they don't want to hear it. I don't care. Tell them anyway. You say, they'll quit inviting me over. Good. You need better company anyway. That bunch ain't got no use for Jesus. You need to find somebody better to hang with. Amen, Brother Jim. That's good. Got kind of quiet there, preacher. Tell the kids at school and people at work that you love him. We don't have much time. When are you going to do it? You say, well, when I get to heaven, I'm going to give my testimony. They don't need it up there. We don't need it up there. Down here's where we can use it. Down here's where the preacher would get a blessing from it. Down here's where the sisters and brothers would be encouraged by it. You say, when I get to heaven, I'm going to shout the walls down. We don't need it up there. Everybody shouts up there. Everybody shouts up. We don't need your shout up there. Down here is where they're trying to keep the old-time religion alive. Down here is where they could use it, amen. Praise the Lord, I heard a couple more amens there. A couple men must have got under conviction. That's good. We're trying to keep the old-time religion alive down here on this earth. Here's where we need your shout. Here's where we need your testimony. Here's where we need every now and then stand-ups. Woo! God's been good to me. Here's where we need it. Down here's where your brother and sister get a little. You say, I would never do that. Well, you do it at a ball game. You do it when your team plays. Your team lose, you're mad the next day, you can't breathe. Don't tell me you're not emotional. Say, I just don't shout. Let me talk to your wife. I don't do like, let me talk to your husband. You're emotional. You're just not emotional about the right things. But we're almost out of time. When are you going to do it? When are you going to say amen? Praise the Lord. I will say this. I'll leave you alone. I will say there's no longer time to procrastinate. The Bible says today, if you hear his voice. I don't know who's here, but do you absolutely know where you go if you die today? I mean, absolutely. I'm not talking about wish so. I'm not hoping I'll make it. I'm not, well, maybe I will. I'm talking about, do you know absolutely for sure that if you die today, you'd go to heaven and be with the Lord? Well, I will tell you this. You don't have years to put it off like I did. You don't have that time. The Lord's coming back. You're going to do it. You better do it now. Christian, if you're going to get in, you better do it now. You don't have time to put it off. Put off your whole life. Listen, you must believe that Jesus Christ is the Savior, that he died for your sins. You must ask him to forgive you and save you in faith. Brother and sister, if you'll do that, he'll save your soul and he'll change your life. You say, that sounds too easy. It is easy. God made it where a child could do it. It is easy. But you have to believe his word. I can't make you believe his word. That's where your faith has to come in. Bible says, for whosoever will call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Bible says, he that comes to me, I will in no wise cast out. The Bible says, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Bible says, if you'll come and ask him, he'll save you. Say, well, I'm not interested right now. I'll tell you this, you're almost out of time. I'm telling you, if you live to be 100 or if you go home tomorrow, you're almost out of time. We buried them up in our church. We buried little bitty babies. We buried a beautiful little two-year-old boy. Got that SIDS. Brain went dead. Had him plugged in on the machine. Walked in there. Beautiful little baby boy. Perfect. He was perfect, brother. Perfect little boy. Walked in there. The doctor said there's been no brain activity all week. It's time to unplug the machine. Me and the mama prayed. We got on our knees and prayed. I walked out of the room. She told the doctors to unplug the machine. Say, well, I got time. Well, he didn't have time. What makes you think you got tomorrow? We buried children. We buried them 17 years old. We buried them 21 years old, 23 years old. We just buried one 35 years old. I'm telling you, you say, well, I might. You're out of time to might. You're going to do it, you better come. You see, brother and sister, you Christians too. It ain't just lost people, Christians too. If you're going to come serve the Lord, if you're going to get all the way in, it's time to do it. You see, you got two clocks working against you. There's the clock of life. We don't know when it'll stop. I don't know when your clock will stop. I don't know when mine will. That old poem said, the clock of life is wound but once and no man hath the power to know just where the hands will stop at late or early hour. I don't know when your hands will stop, but I know this, the clock of life is wound, your clock is wound, and there's a point in time it'll stop. I don't know when that is, but you got that clock working against you. And there's another clock, too. It's God's clock. And, buddy, it can work against you, too. The Bible said the end of all things is at hand. You see, God's clock's a stopwatch. God will go along and go along and go along, and there'll be a day. He'll hit that thing, and that's the end of you. You see, God has something you don't have. He has foreknowledge. God can look down the road and see what you'll do. And one day you'll be pecking along, and he'll hit the switch. Out into eternity you'll go, boy. It's God's clock. We got some of my wife's kinfolk live down the road from us, and their house caught on fire one night. We all live out in the country down there. I was raised picking and chopping cotton over in Tennessee in the flatlands, cotton land. And it wasn't our cotton either. We was picking somebody else's cotton. I wish it had been our cotton, but it wasn't. We was working for $3 a hundred. If I worked real hard, I could make $6 a day picking cotton 10 hours a day. But we out in a real rural area. My neighbor's house caught on fire one night, and man, there's about seven of them in there. And man, they started scattering, trying to get out of that house. And you know, they all got out. Mama, she was in the back and couldn't get out the front, so she raised the back window and crawled out the back window and went out into a soybean field. But everybody got out. But I'm going to say Johnny just for sake of reference, the boy's name. But Johnny Brim, he didn't know that she got out. They was all in the front yard looking, and they couldn't find her. He said, Mama's still in the house. And boy, he went running back in that house to get her out. He went through the house. They said he was screaming, Mama! Mama! And the last thing they said that front caved in and that fire just engulfed him. They could see him go down in the flame. They said they could still hear him screaming weeks after that, Mama! Well, boy, that'd be some of you if you're not saved. You'd be in hell 20, 30, 40 years from now in the fire screaming, Mama! She ain't coming. Ain't nobody coming. And you have time right now to fix it. If you're lost, you have time right now to fix it. But you ain't going to have time much longer. This thing's about to wind up. The end of all things is at hand. Christian, are you coming? Are you going to step it up a notch? We're going to try to have revival here this week. To do that, it's going to require you to step your Christian life up a notch. You've been there where you're at long enough. Don't you think it's time you stepped up? You know, brother, they used to tell me, I forget, old preacher, might have been Doc, somebody used to tell me, they said there's a clock in hell on the wall. They said there's a clock in hell. They said it didn't have no hands on it. Because it don't make no difference. Don't matter what time it is. You ain't getting out. You're going to come. I recommend you come now. There's probably not anybody here lost, but if there is, I'd recommend you come now. You got somebody sitting beside you probably that loves you and would come pray with you. Bump them, say, hey, go with me. They'll go with you. How about you, Christian? I'm going to ask our piano player to come. How about you, Christian? We're going to try to have revival this week. It's going to take all of us. Don't you think it's time you quit dithering? Quit wandering? Don't you think it's time you stepped her up a notch? Let me ask you. We're going to have revival this week. Are you in or out? Let's stand.